Good morning. I'd like to call to order the House Committee on Human Services. It's Monday, the 4th of April. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for listening at home or wherever you may be listening. I'd like to first announce that the list is not quite as bad as it may look. We're going to carry over the following bills. If you'd like to make note of this, I will not repeat them. Under no circumstance will I repeat them. Carry over 2183, 2237, 3482, and lastly, House Bill 2235. Can I repeat those for anybody?
Can you repeat them? Slower.
I should have waited. Yeah, I knew you were going to be there. So that's the situation on those four bills. And I'd like to go out of order and then bring you back to order. So don't worry. You won't have to have a chart. But I do want to first open a public hearing. However, we're not going to have uninvited testimony. It's going to be very short. I'd like to hear from the department only. And I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2055. And I think Julie Strauss is with us. And Julie, if you'd come up and just say a word about this for the committee. Maybe before you do that, I would thank you. I would ask Jennifer just to give us the quick update or summary. Jennifer?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2055 requires the Department of Human Services to revise and adopt rules defining abuse, neglect, or misappropriation of resident property under the Certified Nursing Assistance Abuse Registry statutes to conform to federal law.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Julie, thank you for coming.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Julie Strauss. I'm the Interim Administrator for the Office of Licensing and Quality of Care with Seniors and People with Disabilities with the Department of Human Services. Originally, SPD asked for a bill to deal with issues surrounding this registry. However, given recent events and the DHS Acting Director's commitment to convening a work group to take a comprehensive look at the issues and processes involving the protection and safety of seniors and people with disabilities, we have asked that this bill be pulled. We believe this issue is best addressed as part of the comprehensive review rather than stand alone. And we look forward to coming back before the legislature in 2012 with the results of that review and the work group's recommendations, which will include any necessary legislative changes to strengthen our work in support of the protection of seniors and people with disabilities. I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Julie. Members, I'm just going to say a quick word here. I've talked with Co-Chair Tomei about this, and as you know, this has had a lot of additional concerning upsetting publicity. So I do not intend for this meeting this morning to be a full discussion of that. I'm not trying to limit questions, but I want you to first of all know that we are going to continue this conversation. There is another bill that Representative Tomei has. There are ongoing conversations with the department, which I would add, I am convinced that the department is as concerned about it as we are. And lastly, if you'd be patient, I'd like to, for the committee to further address this. Just give me a few days. I'm going to be in consultation, of course, with my co-chair and talk about this issue and what's appropriate for us. So with that little caveat, you're certainly welcome to ask any questions about this particular bill, but it's our intention to move it off the agenda at this time, as Julie already pointed out. Any questions at this point? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
I'd like to close the public hearing on House Bill 2055. Now, if you go back to sheet number one, we'll try to do this in order, and I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 3110. And I would like to entertain a motion, and at that point we can have discussion after it's been moved.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the six amendments dated 3-24-11 to House Bill 3110.
Chair Tomei has moved to adopt the -6 amendments dated 3-24-11 to House Bill 3110. Discussion on the amendment. And I guess the first place we should start is, do we have a summary of the sixes?
We do.
Would you share that, just the summary, or is it too lengthy?
Well, it's quite extensive. Originally, the -6 is basically combined the -4s and the -5s. for the agency. Last Wednesday, agency staff was here going through the Dash 6 amendment in detail.
Are there any questions on the amendments, on the amendment which combines the 4 and 5?
Mr. Chair, the Dash 6 is the one that takes out the designee. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you, Representative Greenleaf. Other comments or questions on the amendment? Seeing none, I'll ask Matt to call the roll.
Representative Greenlink.
Aye, thank you.
Representative Barker.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Widener.
Yes.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gillian.
Aye. The Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 3110 are adopted. I'd be open to another.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3110 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 3110 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion on the bill as amended. Seeing none, yeah. I'll ask Matt if you'd call the roll again.
Oh.
Hold on, just a second. Sorry, Matt. Question?
Just looking at this with the consolidation and stuff, I wonder if this would have actually a revenue impact. I mean, I'm not seeing anything listed there, but there should be some sort of savings with this, I would think.
Mr. Chair, if I might, it does not have a revenue pack. It does have an expenditure impact of $1.4 million. And the reason it was brought back today is it did not have an original referral to Ways and Means, but after receiving the expenditure impact of the substantial amount, we added the referral to Ways and Means, and that's why it was brought back today. So there is no revenue impact, though.
Co-Chair Tomei.
Representative, I think that eventually there will be a savings, but I think there initially there not will not be. That's why it needs to go to Ways and Means, is my understanding.
Okay. I, too, had some money questions early on. I think they've been answered the way they've just been summarized. Other comments? Seeing none, Matt, would you please call the roll on this bill?
Representative Widener.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Greenlink.
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gillian.
Aye. House Bill 3110, having received the required votes, is declared passed. I'd now like to open a public hearing, and excuse me, I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 3250, and I would entertain a motion. But I would like, before we do the motion, for Jennifer just to explain a little bit about the bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3250 was originally heard before the committee on March 21st. It directed the Oregon Department of Transportation, to issue Keep Kids Safe license plates. It directed ODOT to deposit the net proceeds from the surcharge on plates to an account designated by the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon Foundation. We did receive a revenue statement as well as a fiscal statement. The revenue statement basically indicated there would be around $40,000 worth of startup costs. However, in testimony, it was denoted that they had that money lined up, so it wouldn't be an actual expenditure to the agency. They had donations or things of that nature to cover that expense. And the fiscal impact statement that was issued is that basically was around, for the 2011-13 biennium was around $39,410, which basically kind of offsets the $40,000 in revenue. So there was a statement issued, but it should be offsetting. And given that they aren't sure how those plates will sell, there's no forecast for the 2013-15 biennium on fiscal. That's indeterminate. So that's kind of offsetting.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Chair Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I first saw that figure of $40,000, that was just appalling to me, and it concerned a lot of people that people are thinking when they buy these license plates that this money is going to be going to these children's agencies. And that was very concerning to me and for other people, and I understand that. I will be voting yes on this, but I think it should be noted in the future that when we think we're doing something to aid a certain group of people, that sometimes the amount of money that we expect that is going to be going to this to the help a certain group of people sometimes does not get to them.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Greenlee.
Okay, I'm going to vote yes on this too, but I'm also not crazy about it. When you look at that list of license plates, virtually none of them make money. And this is just, you know, semi-symbolic, and, you know, I think if you like to have a Crater Lake license plate, that's fine. If you like to have a Save the Children license plate, that's fine. But the possibility that this is going to produce any significant revenue is virtually zero.
Thank you for weighing in. Representative
In addition to what Representative Greenlee just said, I've been talking to some of the groups whose plates didn't make it. And I think one of the problems is there's a tendency for these groups to put these plates together, launch them, and then think, wow, we've been successful. That's the problem. The success comes in actually going out and selling the program after the plate is available. They do not sell on their own. And several of the plates that have disappeared fell into that the assumption was once they're available, everybody wants one. But the fact is, once they're available, nobody out there knows they're available, and so they don't sell. So the effort has to begin with the approval of the plate, not end with the approval of the plate.
Also a good point. Other comments? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion anytime.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3250 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 3250 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'm tempted to have some, but I'm going to move right along. And Matt, if you'd call the roll.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative
Barker? Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Weiser?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Gilley?
Aye. House Bill 3250, with valid concerns and points noted, but with a great deal of anticipation that this will bring great awareness and raise money for the group that Representative Wisnett brought in, is declared passed.
May I suggest that Representative Wisnett carry the bill on the floor?
You may suggest that, but it's not going to happen. Yes, I think that is an excellent.
We're all competing for the choice.
I know everybody on this committee is dying to. I think it's an excellent suggestion, and we will so designate Representative Wisnett to carry this bill on the floor. I would like to open next. I'd like to close the work session on House Bill 3250 and open one on House Bill 2928. Jennifer, would you do us the honor of bringing us back to this one?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2928 was originally heard before the committee on March 9th. In its original form, it authorized hearings under the Family Abuse Prevention Act to be held in person or by telephone. We do have a -3 amendment that we're looking at, and the -3 amendment clarifies how motions for testimony by telephone should be considered in contested restraining order cases. It cross-references current procedures set out in ORS 45.400 to make clear to victims that such motions are allowed. It specifies that victims' safety is to be considered in assessing whether there is good cause, and specifies that the time frames should be adjusted to allow for the expedited nature of restraining order procedures. It removes the requirement that the court consider the safety or welfare of the party or witnesses when considering the expedited nature of the proceeding. And we have received a no revenue impact and a no fiscal impact statement on the -3 amendments.
Thank you, Jennifer. I would entertain a motion on this, I think on the -3s.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -3 amendments dated 3-10-11.
Chair Tomei has moved to adopt the -3 amendments to House Bill 2928, dated 3-10-11. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Seeing none, Matt, would you call the roll?
Representative Greenlee.
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Wideman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Clement?
Aye.
Chair Gillian?
Aye. The Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2928 are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2928 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 2928 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the bill as amended? The only comment I would have, colleagues, is that while at times there are bills like this that technically these folks may already have the opportunity to use the telephone in these situations, it's this bill, I was impressed by the testimony that much needed to facilitate that, to highlight that, to further make it possible because of the dire situation or the danger involved with some of these testimony, with the testimony in this case, so these cases. So if there's any further discussion, I will entertain that. Representative Frederick.
Only one thing, Chair. I got a chance to tour one of the facilities that helps with this situation in Multnomah County, and if you get a chance and you can come up to the city and see that, it's really very impressive. They're dealing with obviously a lot of women who are coming through, but also teens and kids, and the whole process of trying to keep them safe is really, really quite striking.
Thank you, Representative. Seeing no other discussion, Matt, will you call the roll?
Representative Wideman.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Greenlick.
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gillian.
Aye. House Bill 2928 is declared passed and on its way to the floor. Is there a volunteer to carry the bill?
Representative,
sure. It's a very important volunteer position there. thank you, Representative Frederick, for volunteering, and you'll be our carrier. We got that noted for the record. Mm-hmm. And I would like to now close the work session on House Bill 2928, and I would like to open a work session on House Bill 3375. Jennifer, please give us the background.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3375 in its original format was heard before the committee on March 14th, and it modified the system for the Oregon 211 telephone number to consist of a single call center utilizing a shared statewide resource database containing information regarding health and human services and services after an emergency, inputting information by designated information centers and maintained by the 211 system facilitator. The system facilitator would establish standards for, solicit, review, and evaluate potential designated regional information center applicants, and the Office of Emergency Management would have the final determination of those applicants to be designated the regional information centers. OEM would provide grants to enable round-the-clock 211 service. We do have Dash 1 amendments that basically modify the placements of the terms emergency and human health and human services throughout the measure, and it removes the requirement that the Office of Emergency Management review and others review and either approve or reject the applicant selected by the 211 system facilitator to be the designated regional information centers. Subsequent to that, we have on the Dash 1 amendments received a no revenue impact statement and a no fiscal impact statement. This measure originally had a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, but after receiving the fiscal of a no expenditure impact, we have done a letter to the co-speakers to rescind that referral.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for a motion on the Dash 1s.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3811 on House Bill 3375.
The very able co-chair Tomei has moved to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3811 to House Bill 3375. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Matt, would you call the roll?
Representative Greenlee.
Aye.
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Wider.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gillian.
Aye. The Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3375 or House Bill 3375 are adopted. Similar to House, but different. So.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Madam Chair.
I move House Bill 3375 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Have you been professionally trained?
Yes.
That's very nice.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Tomei has moved House Bill 3375 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion on this amended bill? Do we have anybody on the phone calling in? That's a phone joke. So, seeing no discussion, I'd like for Matt to call the roll on this one.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Greenlee.
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gillian.
Aye. House Bill 3375 is declared passed and sent to the floor. And
I think Representative Parrish would be willing to carry that.
Is Representative Parrish, are you volunteering for 211?
Yes, I am, I guess.
Oh, good. Thank you, Representative
Parrish. It's a good bill. I'd like to see it be further.
And they said co-governance wouldn't work. Look at us flying through this. Representative Parrish will carry that bill, and I would like to close the hearing on House Bill 3375 and open another work session, God bless you, on House Bill 3536. Jennifer, I would appreciate your help again.
House Bill 3536 was originally heard before the committee on March 16th. In its original format, it required the Oregon Health Authority to suspend medical assistance for inmates of public institutions. We have received a Dash 2 amendment. That amendment modifies the provision to require the Department of Human Services and Oregon Health Authority to suspend rather than terminate the medical assistance for inmates who are expected to remain in the correctional facility for no more than 12 months. It provides requirement for inmate release notification to agencies, and it denotes the exceptions to those eligibility extensions. It requires the Department of Human Services and Oregon Health Authority to jointly report to the legislature no later than May 31st, 2013 on the feasibility of requiring medical assistance suspensions to inmates incarcerated for more than 12 months. We do have a no revenue impact statement that was issued on the Dash 2s, and we've received a minimal impact statement for the Dash 2 amendments on 3536.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated 3-23-11 to House Bill 3536.
Chair Tomei has moved to adopt Dash 2 amendments dated 3-23-11 to House Bill 3536. Is there any discussion on the Dash 2 amendments? Seeing none, I'll ask Matt to call the roll.
Representative Greenlee.
Aye.
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Wyden.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Gillian?
Aye. House Bill 3536 as amended is declared passed.
The amendment is passed.
It's doing so well.
You're doing great. Mr. Chair, yes. I move House Bill 3536 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 3536 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on this amended bill?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenlee.
I just want to make sure I understand the purpose of this bill, which I think I do. The purpose is currently when somebody goes into jail, they're dropped off of the health plan. That means when they come out, there's no way to get them back involved and get their care organized. So this is only to suspend it, so when they come out, there can be the proper planning for their health care as a part of the reentry of the community. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do, and thank you for clarifying. I think those are the two. For me, the most important is that they're reconnected because of all the problems we all know about when many of our folks are released and then have no mechanism and they fall off a cliff, and guess where they can likely end up again for no real good reason. Representative Whitener.
Mr. Chair, I have a little reluctance looking at the sponsors of this bill, but I think I will be supporting it today.
Well, Representative, we're honored.
You're on it. I'll handle the humor down here. Will you mind?
So, with no other discussion, I would ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Wyden?
I would be honored to vote for a bill I'm on. Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Greenlee?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Chair Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Gilliam?
Aye. House Bill 3536, now as amended, is declared passed. And I'm looking for a volunteer.
May I recommend Representative Whitener?
Yes, you may. Representative Whitener, thank you so much for not only your sponsorship, but also your carriage of this bill.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I was a little reluctant.
All right, go ahead.
You know, you were on the bill.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative. I would like to close the public hearing on House Bill 3536. And I'm so sorry that our colleague, Representative Gelser, has slept in, and so we won't be able... Oh, no, there she is now. I would like to open a public hearing, a work session, on House Bill 2600. And once again, if you give us the update, Jennifer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2600 was originally heard before the committee on February 28th. In its original format, it codified the Staley Settlement Agreement pertaining to the updating of terminology and creation of definitions and eligibility criteria of the developmental disability services to adults. We do have a -2 amendment. -2 amendment replaces Section 2 of the measure with regard to DHS's obligation to establish by rule services, activities, and purchases available, and application and eligibility determination processes for support services for adults with developmental disabilities. Further, DHS is required to ensure that each individual has the opportunity to confirm satisfaction with the support services for adults that the individual receives and to make changes in the services as necessary. We have received a no revenue impact statement on the -2 and a minimal fiscal impact statement on the -2, and this does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Jennifer. I would entertain a motion on the -2.
Mr. Chair?
Sorry. Certainly. Representative Gelser, would you like to come up and say a word about this before we move forward? If we're in a work session, it's perfectly fine to go ahead. Thank you for your patience waiting for us, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Sarah Gelser from House District 16 in Corvallis. It's my understanding with the -2 amendment, there is no fiscal impact statement, and it was important to the department that I said the following on the record. That the reason that there is no fiscal impact statement is because it creates no new entitlement and that it will continue our program as it currently exists within existing resources as outlined in the governor's balanced budget. And with that, I was surprised. I did not think that this had a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on it, and in discussions with some of the Ways and Means folks, they did not particularly want it there.
If that's the case, if we should carry it over until we understand what...
Chair Tomei is making a good point, and we might move on here with some discussion about the -2s, but I am happy to have further discussions. All I'll say is... My understanding was the opposite of yours. So there's a misunderstanding someplace that actually we did have, with consultation, an agreement to go down to Ways and Means. If we need to discuss that, I certainly will do that. But my understanding was we were ready to go to Ways and Means today.
And Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, if it would be okay, because I don't think any of us would like to upset the wonderful forces down in Ways and Means... perhaps we could take a day or 2 days to talk with the co-chairs of the sub and with the co-chairs of the full and determine exactly what that
any discussion or comments from the
Can
committee? Representative Greenland.
It seems to me this is likely to have general funds consequences downstream. I mean, isn't it? I mean, it's not without... One of the purposes of the bill is to make sure there is general funds revenue assigned to this on an ongoing basis. But it seems to me Ways and Means is going to at least want to look at that and see what the consequences of it are.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, my understanding was that because this is the continuation of an existing program and that the Dash 2 amendment makes it clear that it is not an entitlement and that is subject to the availability of existing funds, that is a continuation of current service level, and therefore it is different than a new program that has kind of an out biennial fiscal. That was the conversation that I'd had with Representative Kotek, and my understanding of why there was a desire for it not to go there. I'm just happy to see the bill go wherever it needs to go so that it eventually gets to the floor and we get this into statute. I just had this conversation, I think, last Thursday, and it was the two bills. It was this one and the Fairview Housing Trust, and the request was that Fairview Housing Trust go to Ways and Means and that this one does not.
Committee, I'm happy to hold this over and have a clarification. My preference, and I want to know more about what the committee thinks, and we'll recheck with Representative Gelser and with Ways and Means. My preference is it goes to Ways and Means since it does have a minimum, but that doesn't mean that's what we need to do today. So, Representative Whitener.
Mr. Chair, I mean, with us putting this in statute, I think it should be looked at by Ways and Means as well and should go there because... I mean, even though it's not saying there's an entitlement, we're saying, hey, general funds will be used on this, and it's going to open us for further lawsuits possibly. So I'd like Ways and Means to take a very close look at it before it moves on further. So I'm for sending it to Ways and Means.
Any other discussion?
As I said, Mr. Chair, I would prefer that we hold it over till Wednesday and we can check with the co-chairs, both of the subcommittee and of the full Ways and Means, to see where they'd like it to go.
Unless there's strong... opposition to that suggestion, I'm inclined to take Chair Tomei's suggestion and at least have that kind of discussion before we bring it back. I think we're in agreement, and thank you, Representative. We'll try to further clarify. So I'm going to carry over and close the work session on House Bill 2600.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Now, we carried over 20 and 83, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So I go down with sheet number one.
So we're not here at 2183. Oh, okay.
So we had I carried
okay.
it over.
Okay, got it. Right.
We did this one already.
So really, all you have left is 2059.
Rapidly losing your audience here.
Why don't you start singing, Representative?
I didn't know what day it was.
Okay, that's enough.
Nice job. All right. Committee, I think we're ready for a public hearing on 2059, yes?
Looks good to me.
I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2059. Jennifer, if you'd give us the background.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2059 provides that monies from a judgment and a settlement agreement for a minor ward in the custody of Department of Human Services be paid into a trust account or subaccount with the Oregon State Treasury. Accounts are to be established by the Department of Human Services or the Oregon Health Authority for the purpose of receiving awarded money.
Thank you, sir. All right, we have a many folks want to testify on this, so I'm going to have to limit your testimony to whatever time you'd like to take.
Okay.
You're the only one on the list, so please identify yourself, and I'd be happy to hear your testimony.
Good morning.
Co-Chair Gillum, Co-Chair Tomei, and committee members. My name is Sean Waite, and I am the Shared Services Budget Administrator for DHS OHA. I am here today to testify in support of House Bill 2059. It directs the Department of Human Services to deposit settlement funds received on behalf of a child in DHS custody into a pooled Oregon State Treasury account and manage the funds on an individual basis in a sub-account or a child welfare accounting system. The funds will earn interest and they will, as they would in a federally insured bank account, and the interest is distributed through the sub-system to the appropriate individual account. Current statute requires that settlement monies received by DHS on behalf of a child in custody be placed in federally insured bank accounts in the sole name of the child. This legislation provides DHS with statutory authority to maintain the current process of depositing monies in Oregon State Treasury pooled accounts and manage those funds in the child welfare accounting subsystem. The process of maintaining monies in Oregon State Treasury accounts is more cost-effective and provides efficiency in administration. There is only one charge from the State Treasury for each pooled account, whereas a bank may charge maintenance fees for separate accounts. DHS will maintain these trust funds in the Oregon State Treasury and manage the client's trust funds through the sub-accounting system. The sub-accounts are managed by the DHS Child Welfare Accounting System, in which each child has a unique identifying number and a separate account for their record. The current system provides staff with more efficient way to manage and reconcile the approximate 1,616 trust accounts. Requiring separate bank accounts to be established for each child would require additional staff time to perform reconciliations of each bank statement. The current process allows staff to manage and reconcile accounts from one report. Thank you for your time and willingness to hear this bill, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions, but I'm happy for other members. Let me just, you alluded to a lot of this, but would you just say a little bit more about the current system, maybe how much is under management, how many accounts you have we recently, have you sought statutory authority for similar accounts? Just a little thumbnail on the context of bringing this under your authority.
Okay, Co-Chair Gillum, Co-Chair Tomei, committee members. We actually have a total of 10,000 child welfare trust accounts. Out of those, we have estimated the 1,616 child trust accounts that have actually received some sort of settlement monies. And so we want to maintain the consistent practice of how we manage our child welfare accounts. And what happens right now, we have a separate subsystem that will actually be transformed into ORCIDS in the next few months. But those funds are through an interface. When they're deposited into the Treasury, there's an interface into the child welfare accounting system. This allows us to track each deposit for a child. It also allows us to distribute interest as it would in any other account. As far as bringing a situation like this forward for any other statutory revision, I'm not aware of. But I can look into that and bring it back to the committee.
Thank you. I am interested in that. I'm wondering if we've had to do this in the past in order to give you the authority, or how all of those, I mean, that's a lot of accounts and a lot of kids you're tracking, how that, I suppose some aren't, don't need statutory, I don't know why, but this one obviously does. So I'd be interested in that. Other questions? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How large are these accounts usually? Roughly.
Co-Chair Gillum, Co-Chair Tomei, and Representative Widener, are you referring to dollar amount or?
Yeah.
On average, we have, as far as the settlements, when we look at that piece, that could be as a result of a car accident that a child was involved in, and whatever is determined by the insurance company to be a fair settlement. Most of those monies, you know, range from, it could be a couple thousand to several thousand, depending on the severity of the accident. So it's basically whatever the settlement is. Basic, our average child welfare account is based on whatever funds are received. There is a maximum when it comes to certain Social Security benefits that they cannot have more than $2,000 in their account. And we do use Social Security to offset cost of care. Settlement monies we do not use. That's very dedicated to the child. We cannot use that, those funds for cost of care. So there is no maximum amount.
And if I may follow up.
One
of the things you testified here is basically some of the maintenance and things of accounts. What type of accounts do you usually open? I mean, I would be thinking a CD, which usually doesn't have any maintenance fees or anything on it. What type of accounts are you usually opening the children?
Co-Chair Gillum, Co-Chair Tomei, Representative Widener. It's actually like a savings account. It's not a CD. It's it's a pooled account in Treasury, but it's managed just like you would a checking account. Through the subsystem. So if there are items, for example, that a foster parent may come and say, well, we need to buy some clothing or some other necessity for the child, then we will cut a check.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. So when a child, say, is in foster care and has been in an accident and the child is leaving foster care, then would the money follow the child?
Co-Chair Gillum, Co-Chair Tomei, committee members, yes, it does. It follows the child.
Thank you.
Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It looks like this is an improvement and increase in efficiency, which we're always looking for, and I'm often looking at technology-related ways of trying to do that as going on in multiple places. Frequently have to throw money at things to get them more efficient. Does this have a fiscal, or if not, why not? Is the system already in place and we're simply switching over from one that's less efficient to one that's more efficient, or what?
Co-Chair Gillum, Co-Chair Tomei, and Representative Harker, this is actually a process that we currently do. We are just reflecting a revision to current statute that's specific to settlement monies. We want to maintain all child trust accounts into the pooled system, which we are currently doing.
Okay, thanks.
This is to revise current practice in statute.
Yeah, and Jennifer points out we've not received a fiscal on this. Well, seeing no other questions or discussion, thank you for your testimony. I'm assuming because you were the only one on the list, there's no one else in the room that wants to testify. And with that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2059. Colleagues, I just can't thank you enough for your cooperation this morning. Well, on Mondays, things happen that pretty good.
Mr. Chair, if you like, you may cry.
I might. So with that, seeing no other comments or announcements for the committee, I will adjourn the House Committee on Human Services with my thanks.